Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Next podcast. So excited to be back. And today's guest is Kelly Reynolds, who has been a podcast friend, BFF. We've been doing this for way too long. So, and now Kelly's a writer. Well, she's always been a writer, but she's now a published author with multiple books. So you actually can have enough time to binge on them. You have 5 books or 6 books actually you have out. So, and you have many more to come because I'm your momager and I make sure that you keep writing.
Yes, I'm so thankful to have my momager, Laura, to keep me on track and constantly check in and say, are you working on something? You should be writing. What are you working on?
Too many signings. I need you to get to work.
I know. And you know what? Here's the thing is like, I love going to author signings. I love going to book signings. But they are draining. They absolutely are draining, sometimes financially, sometimes mentally and emotionally. But I don't know. I feel like I can't give them up because I'm a very extroverted person. This is like where I thrive, is like going and talking to people and talking about books and finding excuses to wear clothing other than like my sweatpants. But you're right. I absolutely should be doing more writing. So I'm trying to do that so I can make my momager proud.
Yes. We just need more books, more work. That's all we want. Because at the end of the day, money calls. We need money. Like, you need.
It's so true.
We live in a capitalist society. So.
But this is like how, this is where we differ, because like I am never. And I know that I should, but I've never treated writing like a business. And it's probably because, like, I know that I'm not at the stage in my authoring career to be able to do that full time, as I'm sure many authors are in the same boat. But at the same time, like, I know that I could probably be thinking about that a little bit more.
I think it's just, like, a nice little balance. So, because I was talking to somebody else. I was like, there's two crowds. There's the fame who wants to go viral and they wants to get big known, and I don't want that. I don't care about that. It's just not worth the time and investment, because fame doesn't pay the bills. But money, treating as a business, even though it's your hobby, it just means like you're conscious about what you're spending your time, spending your energy, what actually gives you more energy to keep doing the work and keep enjoying the work for the joy of the work. And sometimes it's like, it's not like the motivator, like you're just like, I got to make my money. It's just more, no, but it's actually pays the bill. So then I can actually go and enjoy my
life.
And
do the thing that I want to do. And it's really, it's one of those catch 22 things where it's like, you want to invest more of your time into the thing that you're passionate about, which for me is writing and not even just the writing. It's really just like the world of romance, and especially like fat girls in romance. And so that's why I love doing the other things that come along with the writing as well. But at the same time, it's to be able to invest that time in it. You kind of need the money to be able to step aside from the 9-to-5. And I recognize that everybody who is not only writing romance, but reading romance and blogging about romance and podcasting about romance, we're all in different boats. Like, some of us are lucky enough to maybe like a little extra cash laying around. Some of us are lucky enough to have a partner who is there to help support, or we've made it to a point in our careers where we are able to call it our full-time job. And that's fantastic. Yeah. But if there is anybody that's listening that is also I don't want to say like a newbie or a baby author, especially not in a demeaning way by any means, but just that you're not alone. If you're thinking, oh, I can't do that yet, I'm not a full-time author yet, that's okay. There are so many more of us that are just trying to get to that point than there are of the people who have quote unquote made it already. So, and even once you make it, you still got to stay there and keep doing the thing you do.
Yeah. And not everyone wants to let go. They may have a day job they enjoy. Like, I was coming to a place where I do love my day job. My day job was engaging, interesting, and everything. It allows me to have flexibility to do the things. But it is just, I think we're thinking like aspirations. I'm going to be a full-time writer. I'm going to get so much done. Mm-hmm. In reality, it's maybe not, because you may have other distractions. I think what we want to, we don't live, unfortunately, we don't, I'm a socialist, even though I'm like capitalist in that sense with money. I'm a socialist that I want social services to be funded, like healthcare and like affordable housing and stuff like that. We don't live in that society. We live in a society where it's dog eats dog, and we're trying to just keep head above water. And so it's like how to compromise having that space to be able to afford your life and afford what you can, and at the same time be able to spend the life and live joyful, which is the ultimate act of rebellion.
Girl, you're preaching to the choir. I'm getting further, closer and closer to communism, Dave.
Yes, absolutely.
But at the same time, it's like you have to recognize like the environment and systems that we do exist under. And there's no way, because I hate when people pull the whole, oh, well, if you want to be a communist or you want to be a socialist, like, just leave. Just get out of here. Or go
where are we going to leave?
Yeah, exactly. No, it doesn't. Here. It can't exist. So, like, you have to participate in the systems that are in place. However, at the same time, like you said, you can protest in specific ways. You can outside of specific parameters. And for the people who still say that books aren't political or art isn't political, believe me, this is not going to be the podcast episode for you, because they absolutely are. And just the idea of writing not only romance novels, but romance novels about fat characters, usually women, that is already an act of political protest. So, and if you're reading them, it is too. Yeah, exactly.
It is about joy, because I think so much has been like the trauma, the horrible things. I'm still traumatized by it. The Wally Lam book, that was horrible. It was such a horrible book. I read in 1999. She Comes Undone. It was an Oprah pick, 1999. It was a fat character. Mm-hmm. She had lost weight. She got through so much trauma. And it was just like, and the only way a man would love her was when she lost weight. Ooh. And Oprah obviously picked that book because this is the trait of diet culture. And so actually, like, it's an act of rebellion to show joyful characters living with your disabilities, living with the fat character, living with all the things that you're not supposed to. Being single is an act of rebellion, because they want us to be impregnated and to not send too many babies.
And actually, I'm sure you've probably seen this discourse happening as well. And I actually do really want to talk about this more in like in depth. Maybe I'll do a Substack about this, but I feel like it's not even a feeling. I know, because I've been seeing it. We're seeing this push again for diet culture and like skinnier bodies. Like, we've been seeing it, and people have been quick to point out, especially people who are very well versed in, how would I put it? Well, both with like fashion and also with nutrition and health, that this is usually tied directly to when conservatism is on the rise. And and obviously we're seeing that in the United States. I can't speak for every country, but prevalent in the United States. And so we are starting to see not only this conservatism breach into like media, like movies and TV, but also into how we perceive bodies, and always female bodies. It's never about male bodies.
Yes.
So well, I think it's more important to write plus size romance now more than ever.
Yeah. Like, I actually had an interview, which I'll post it. I interview a wellness person who would study wellness and the history of wellness. And so similar fashion, what's going on, it happened again after post-industrial revolution in Germany. And there were two factions. One became hippies and the other one became the Nazi party. And they were all the wellness, the purity, the stuff. Shocker. So we got to see it with Maha. We got to see it with the space of like skinny talk and all the things.
It's just rebranded.
It's just a rebrand. And yes, the GLP-1. And yes, it's the, and it's just, it got to a point where I was like, I don't know. I've talked enough to my therapist about this, because I had an eating disorder. I went through all the specifics and all the recovery and all this, but a lot of it was not just culturally. It was also the era of the time. It was in the 90s and the aughts, where diet culture was so rampant. And even recovery, like if you go to a 12-step recovery and eating disorder, it was like you got to restrict so many foods, which was not my recovery. And that was not it. And I told my therapist, I was like, I don't, my body is the most boring shit in the world. Like, it's just not that important. And I think, but I got to believe that my worthiness was based on the actual, the size of the body and what it looked like and how the attractability of somebody else reattract. And it's so fucking boring.
And that's it right there is, in a nutshell, very much. And again, this has only ever been geared towards women. Is the idea that in order to attract a mate, a male suitor, because obviously we're talking about like heteronormativity, that you need to look a certain way in order to attract that, because your self-worth should be tied to being a wife, a mother, and continuing the age-old tradition of American values. And it's so easy to spot if you're like willing to have that conversation. And I think too many people today just don't ask the question of like, why with anything really. Like, it's, well, this led to this. Well, but why did it get there? Like, how did that happen? And so I think we're finally at a time where people have become so comfortable with their bodies. People, I mean, we're seeing more plus size romance now than we've ever seen before. We're seeing more plus size characters in TV shows and movies who aren't just the fat, funny friend or something to make fun of. And that scares people who, especially if they are still clinging to those ideas of like their self-worth being tied to looking a certain way, they hate to see fat people happy, and they hate to see fat people who have others attracted to them and in love with them, even if they're still fat. So it really is like, this is the time to be reading it. This is the time to be writing it. And like you said, that goes beyond just talking about skinny or fat. We want to see this with disabled characters. We want to see this with characters with different skin pigments. This is the time to be doing it. So I just hope that people continue to write them and read those stories.
Well, I think it's just needed to normalize. There's another way. Because I think it's a lot of times fat characters have the idea that they have to struggle with their food. Mm-hmm. They have to struggle with their body. They cannot have body neutrality. They cannot be in the place of just acceptance. I'm not saying positivity or not saying, it's just actually don't have that issue. Like, I didn't hear about that issue. It stopped being worried. I don't identify with the eating disorder anymore because it was a very era of time. And it's been 15 years at this point. I'm like, I don't really care. Am I actually taking care of myself? Because I didn't know how to eat. Yes, I did not know how to eat for a long time because I got bought in the belief that I was like, I needed to do this. And now being like, no, I just don't want to have hip replacement surgery. So I actually want to build strength. And
it's a different thing too. Like, you can be very healthy and fat. There's no reason that you can't be. Any nutritionist will tell you the same thing too. Stop listening to the men with microphones on TikTok. Like, they don't know shit.
They don't know shit. They're like, you gotta. I'm like, I just don't, because being skinny can actually cause bone. I'm in perimenopause at this point. I'm like, my eggs are going out of sale. It's actually, this is a my mom has to give me the menopause talk. She's like, this is what's going to happen.
The
other talk that you don't probably generations ago may not have had that talk, but now I get that talk. And so it's like, my body's changing and like things, I actually have to take care of it. But it's challenging that belief that you need to eat less. You need to be at a smaller pace. And it doesn't work anymore. Like, it doesn't really matter.
You can be skinny and healthy. You can be skinny and unhealthy. And the same goes for being fat and healthy, fat and unhealthy, or anywhere in between. Because also,
it doesn't really matter.
So, you know, useless.
I think it doesn't really matter. I think it's like, it's just coming to a turn. So I love that you're writing fat characters who fall in love, fat characters who get accepted, and all different body shapes. Because there's also like, even the body shapes, like curved hourglass figure and blah, blah. And I'm like, not everyone's.
No, and actually, that's been something that I've worked on as I've published more books is, I'm going to think about, what if she's like a little heavier on the bottom half, but like top half has small boobs? Because that was me, like, most of my life was that I had always like hips and ass, but like barely anything in the bra department. And then there's also women who are curvy and thick all around. There's plenty of women with folds and curves. I mean, it's just, there's no reason to shy away from it. Me specifically, like, I'm always self-conscious about my arms because I have like thicker arms, but like, you can put me in a crop top any day of the week. So it's just, it really is. We all have our own things with our bodies. So why shouldn't our characters?
Yeah. So let's talk some recommendations. We got Pad Bodies in Sports Romances. Because you know what? There's enough Pad Bodies that in fiction that we got some niches here. So we got Sports Romances. I need you right. So Sports Romances, you got some baseball, but you got some other recommendations. But I love that we're actually expanding. That's not just like, just one fad body creation. We got a niche down.
Exactly. I know. And that's kind of, I feel like that's a really great sign that we're seeing like enough plus size romance at this point to be able to give these like niche recommendations. So, well, okay. First of all, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I will just shout out a couple of my books that are both sports romance that feature plus size bodies. So I have my Rose City Roasters baseball series. And the first book in the series, Hit It and Quit It, I describe her more as a mid-size girly. So kind of in like the size 12 to 14 range, which I want to say is kind of the average size for women in the United States. And then Pitches Be Crazy, my second book in the series, she's a big girl. Like she's, I think I kind of, when I had the, I sent out to get some like spicy art done for the book. And I said, no, make her bigger. Like I want more folds. I want more cellulite. Yeah. Give her those wrinkles. So, and both of those are in my baseball series. It's in KU. And then actually the third book, and I am going to focus mostly on plus size women in sports romance, but I will say that my third book, All Bats Are Off, I actually describe one of the guys in it, in a male, as being on the thicker side, that he has these big tree trunk thighs. So just a reminder that obviously there can also be plus size men in romance too, which actually I feel like we see less of. I think
everyone has watched for apps. I don't know. Yes. For some reason, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, that's not realistic. Like everyone, like it doesn't matter. They don't exercise, but they got the eight.
Right. And I guess in sports romance, it is to be expected that maybe the guys will be a little more toned. But I guess it depends on the sport.
But in
non-sports
romances, like millionaire romances and mafia romances, I was like, I did not know the shooting man actually can make you watch for ass.
I'm a fluffy billionaire man. Oh, my God. I would love that. That would be great. Well, and okay, so this is a good way to transition, because keeping in mind that there are some romance and specifically sports romance with also plus size men, and people might have seen this one. I feel like it's been kind of making the rounds on TikTok, is Every Move You Make by Sloane Spencer. And this is a rugby romance. And what I really love about this, it is a why choose. It's a polyamorous relationship between two men and a woman. And what I love about this one specifically is that they're all involved in athletics. Like one of the men and one of the women are both rugby players. And I think the author did talk about how she took some inspiration from Alona Marr.
I was going to say, like, we're our queen.
And in fact, recently I saw Alona Marr doing her podcast, or she was on somebody's podcast, and they were talking about, oh, did you know that there's like a rugby romance that is maybe supposedly inspired by you? And so I'm sure Sloane Spencer was just loving every second of that, as she should. Yeah. But yeah, and I think there are multiple books in this rugby series. That's just one of them, but that's the one that a lot of people have been talking about. And one of the men is also plus size. So I was excited that we have some plus size rep for men and women in sports, but also that they're both athletes. I thought that was really cool. So yeah, that one was a great one. This one, I actually just finished reading. So I was kind of glad that we planned this when we did. No Cool Down for Love by Aaliyah Burke. And this is also, it's not the first in the series. I want to say it's like the second or third book in the series, but he is an ex-pro basketball player. It's also an interracial romance, and it starts where he, like, rescues her from her broken down car in a snowstorm, which, look, I'm a sucker for. I love a good, like, my car broke down. Oh, no. All I have to say is that I, for one, in the future, I actually have this written down to put into one of my future baseball books. I want him to have the breakdown and she rescue him.
Is he naked also? Because
maybe.
I know, like, for the listeners, Kelly's known for the meat nude, so they always have to be some sort of no clothes, and they're meat cute, so.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Even in my book that I'm working on right now that comes out in August, they already know each other, but do they also have sex in, like, the third chapter? Yes. I know it's not right away, but there is so, nudity.
There is a little bit of meat nude. So.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, I just finished that one, and Aaliyah Burke was a new-to-me author, so I was excited to find that one. But I want to say the series is all different sports, too. Like, I think one is baseball. I'm not sure what the other one is, but I think they're all different sports. It's not, like, one team kind of thing. So anyway, could be fun. I got to shout out a few of my, like, author pals who I feel like the three of us started publishing around the same time, and we all publish very similarly in that we love writing big girls and we love writing squishy boys that are, like, obsessed with them. And usually we also write main characters that are, like, a little older in age, like more in their 30s than they are 20s. So Anna P, just the letter P, Anna P writes some of my favorite books, and her latest one is called Stumped, and it's a cricket romance, which I just was like, oh my gosh, I'm already obsessed with this, and, like, what were you thinking, toying with my heart this way? But Anna's also a South Asian author, so, like, a lot of her characters are South Asian, or I think this one is actually set in India. Which makes sense, given that it's cricket, and there's also an age gap where she's older. So I love that. And then the other author whom I adore is Leonor Solis. And Leonor's books are great. She just started a new series called the Seattle Strike series. And obviously, I live in the Pacific Northwest, so I am always excited to see books set in the Pacific Northwest. And this one is a football series that is set in Seattle. And I think there's a little shorty prequel novella that you can read. But the first book in the series is called The Game. And it's a grumpy quarterback. He had a one-night stand with the female main character a few years ago. And now she's the one hired to do PR to rehab his image.
I love the PR setup, the whole, you have your image, you're like,
yes.
and then they get feelings.
If you're talking about, like, micro tropes specifically in, like, sports romance, that's one that just every time, chef's kiss.
Social media, PR, publicist, crisis manager,
so
trying to clean up your act, and he's having sex in the alleyway and stuff like that. I've written another one that he's like, he had to fake date her for some reason. I was like, oh, love this. Yes.
There's always a reason. There's always a reason.
The contract is going to be off, or they're trying to get into another team, or they're trying to get something out of it, and you're like,
no, I get it. I'm here for all of it. And then as far as there's just, like, a few authors that I think I want to put on people's radar if they're not already there, who kind of for the most part always write plus size romance. They just happen to have a few series that are all plus size romance sports edition. Most notably, and I'm sure people are already aware of, both Emily Rath's books and Amy Award's books. And both of them have ongoing series that, with Emily, it's hockey romance, and Amy, it's football. And I think they're still both publishing books in those series, but I know for Amy, the first book in her series is called The Cock Down the Block. The other thing about her books that's just incredible are the titles. You have The Cock Down the Block, The Wiener Across the Way, The Anaconda Downstairs. Like, they're just, they're so good. And then Emily's hockey series. I think the first one is Pucking Around.
I think it's Pucking. Yeah, it's all with Puck. Pucking.
Yes.
Pucking.
Yes. And I don't think Rachel, the main character in that one, is described as plus size, but Tess, who's in the second book, is. And that's kind of like my bread and butter, that book. You've got a big girl, you've got an age gap where she's older. There's a lot of toys involved. There's pegging. And so there's definitely like a lot of crossover with the things that Emily puts into that book that I also tend to put into my books, and I love to read as well. So those are great. And then the last one I wanted to recommend is, and this is actually not just for books, but I think everybody who loves plus size romance should be following author Mary Warren. And on both Instagram and TikTok, her handle is Fat Girls in Fiction, because she started as a blogger creating a community specializing in discussing and uplifting plus size romance. And so I am very lucky to now kind of be a part of that community. We have our own little private chat group on Instagram that's for plus size authors, and we share recommendations with each other and shout each other out. But in addition to having Fat Girls in Fiction, Mary also publishes. She has an entire hockey series right now that is featuring plus size women. So I think the first book in that series is Connor. All of the names of the all of the titles are names of players on the team. So I think it's the Glendale Magic series. But yeah, she is somebody to follow because she also puts together a lot of listicles, much like the Fabulous Laura, that will be, Fat Girls in Fiction Sports Romance Edition, Fat Girls in Fiction. She did a collection of romances.
Yeah.
She did ones that were for Pride Month, like a whole collection of queer romance featuring plus size characters. But yeah, like there's definitely a lot that she's put together over there that I know I'm thankful for because it introduced me to so many other authors that I wasn't already reading.
Yes, I love this. And thank you, Kelly, for all the recommendations. So tell us where you can find your books online. And maybe also check out the Reason Movies podcast.
Oh my gosh.
There's some plenty of episodes to go back to. So, and there's always Christmas in July. So you can actually listen to some plenty of Christmas episodes.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, actually, that's a great point. I'll talk about that. I got my start hosting the podcast Boobies and Newbies, and you can still listen to all 250 plus episodes.
Yeah, we're in the longest episode streak. Someone did data on women's podcasts, and we're featuring the same list. I'm not the most smart bitches read romance.
Yes.
I have 800. They got double the amount of episodes, but you know.
Oh my God. Well, and that's crazy that we're on the same list if you have 800 plus episodes and I'm like right around like 300. But yeah, and like Laura, a lot of my episodes, I've done interviews with authors. I also got into doing kind of these panel discussions about specific topics in romance. But mostly it's a lot of romance reviews with romance reading newbies that I would bring onto the podcast, hence the title Boobies and Newbies. But the claim to fame that everyone loves that I am still trying to do, but the time just doesn't allow for it. So I haven't been doing any podcasting lately, but every December I host the 12 Days of Boobsmas, in which we discuss all holiday romance reads. We've got Hanukkah, we've got Kwanzaa, we've got Christmas. We even have, what's the pagan holiday that's during the holiday season? Yule. We've got some Yule in there. And in fact, I just picked up a new Yule romance at a signing I went to.
Yes.
I'm like, ooh, exactly. And I want to keep doing it. It's just a matter of being able to balance the time with writing. And you're my momager, so you should understand better than anyone.
I understand. It's not easy. As someone who's taken multiple breaks and it continues to just take it, it's just not easy, especially 12 episodes. Because it's not just 12 episodes for you. You have to read the book. You have to understand it. But you have to figure out the sex part. You have to figure out the questions and the discussion. Record, it's not as easy as like an author who would just come in, hey, let's just talk about your book. Let's talk about it. You actually have to work on it. And it's not just one, it's 12 episodes. 12. And then you have to edit.
Yeah.
And then create the show notes, all the show specifics and the promotion.
It's a lot.
And then do the giveaway. It's like a freaking full-time job and you don't get paid. You do not get paid for this.
It's so fun. Well, and obviously I love the holiday season because my first three books that I published are all holiday romance. And I will say, I don't know when this episode will air, but I am doing, because it's, let's say, Christmas in July, I am doing in my Facebook group right now, we're rereading the three books in my holiday series. And later in July, I'm actually going to be doing a sale on Amazon. So all of the ebooks in the series, Meet Me in Los Feliz, Venice Actually, and Santa Monica Baby, all three of them I think are going to be on sale for 99 cents.
Should buy them because they're perfect. They're quick reads, a good palate cleanser. They're great if you're trying to meet a numerical goal. You're like, I need to get these numbers. Those books are great. And they're like, they got
I don't write long books. Long books. They all have one of the leads is plus size. One, if not both of the leads are queer. Like it all takes place in Los Angeles during the holiday season. So it's sunny, but Christmassy. Yeah. And so all of those are available in Kindle Unlimited. But yeah, there is going to be a sale later this month if you do want to buy them. And then my baseball books, same thing. They're all available in Kindle Unlimited. I'm working on technically book three, but it is the fourth book in the series because I did have a little novella in between books two and three. And this is the one that I'm like both excited for and also dreading because I know that people are waiting for this one. That's The Coach. We affectionately refer to him as Coach Daddy in my Facebook group and the social media director for the team. They used to have kind of a secret fling relationship and accidentally hook up one more time and oops, she's pregnant. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm working on it right now. It comes out at the end of August. It's called Addicted to Glove. And I'm excited for it. But again, very nervous because I want everyone to love it.
Yes. I'm very excited for this one. I've been reading your books in the series. So I got to beta read the first one, actually. You were actually attending a book signing. The one and only book signing I attended.
Only time we met in person. It was so great. Another one of these days, we'll make it happen again.
We still got to do our podcast retreat or some sort of retreat because we do have, for the listeners, we do have a group chat of the podcast. And we've known each other since the Frolic days when we used to be in a network.
That's a whole different conversation.
Yes.
I hear my neighbor, by the way, starting the lawnmower. So this is probably the perfect time for us to wrap up.
Yeah. And it's all good. So thank you, Kelly, for being on the show.
Always. I love you and I love romance.
Awesome. All right.
All right.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.